16 of Hypeable.com's Smash Chat. I am Jessica O'Neill, and I am joined once again by the fabulous Mitchell Clow. How are you, Mitch?
I'm doing great. Really excited to talk about this episode. It was awesome, and I got to relax and watch it, which is like a first, because I wasn't at school. I wasn't like, oh, I got to do homework in the middle of the commercials and all that, you know? So,
did you survive finals week?
Somehow. I gotta apologize, guys. I'm so sorry for getting the episode out on Sunday. That is just uncalled of me. Like, I don't do that. So, I don't make promises, but I will not do that again, I'll say, because that wasn't nice. We're trying a new form of recording, so if you hear a little bit of a difference in audio, it's because we're recording our Skype call as opposed to editing each individual file. So maybe that'll avoid me having to procrastinate for so long, and yeah, so I'm just hoping that it works out, but... Thank you for asking me how I'm doing, Jess. I appreciate it. You know, how are you doing? No one ever asks you.
Oh. I'm good. I'm doing just fine. I don't really have much exciting to tell, so. we're also joined, as always, by Megan Stoll. How are you, Meg?
Hey. Good. How are you?
Good.
I said nothing's going on, but I don't believe you.
Oh? Why is that?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, what about you? How, anything exciting going on with you?
Nothing too exciting. I have discovered the dog is a little bit of a diva. Yeah, we couldn't figure out what he wanted tonight.
So was he pouting?
He was whining a lot. And, you know, we took him on two walks and gave him a bone and even put him in timeout for a bit. And he's better now. But, man, we're still learning each other, I guess.
Aww. Little puppy.
Aw, little pup.
So sweet. Well,
yeah, he heard me talking about you, didn't you? You came in.
We are also joined tonight by a very wonderful guest, the one and only John Thrasher. Hello, John.
Fade in on a boy from another podcast. It's me.
You planned that out, didn't you?
What a great...
No, I didn't, actually.
Well, for those of you who may not know, John is our fearless leader over at Glee Chat, where we all met. He's the one who brought us all together for Glee Chat. So he's kind of like our podcast daddy.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, thanks. We've been trying to plan this whole scenario out for a while, but I got a little behind on my episodes of Smash, so I was going to be on like a month ago or something, and I was so behind on the episodes, so I'm finally caught up on my latest episodes of Smash, and I have a lot to say, so get prepared for that. And I kind of want to talk about other episodes, if we can even find time for that. And some of the character development, I have a list of things, so
oh,
I am...
Boy.
I have my Smash... Yes, I have my Smash hat on today. I'm not
do a John's Corner segment.
Yes, exactly. You know, and it's so nice because Jess, you and I were talking a little bit right before we started recording. This is the first time I'm able to be on an episode of a podcast where I'm not running a chat room and posting the review and organizing everything. So it was nice to just sit back and absorb the show and be able to come on and talk about it. So thank you very much for inviting me on. I hope that I have something to contribute. So.
I'm sure you will. And we are very excited to have you on tonight after trying for so long.
Yes, exactly. And I would love to be on again. So if you guys
great.
Find some room for me here.
You know you're always welcome.
Yay, awesome.
All right, well, episode 14 of Smash just got finished airing. It was called Previews, and there was so much that happened. Oh my goodness, so much to talk about. So it opens up with a shot of Dev waking up in bed to roll over and see, guess who? Ivy. So they wake up next to each other and they both agree not to tell anyone. So we all kind of knew this was going to happen. I mean,
did we though? I mean,
I knew it. But when they looked at each other at the bar,
they showed it in the preview last week.
That's true. I didn't see that last week.
Until
tonight. But I will say, I just didn't think that they would actually be sleeping together. I mean, it really went from them meeting each other to a whole new level of craziness with this happening. Yeah. But anyway.
I will say, after the preview, what I had thought in my head was that there would be a little bit more of a shift, but like we would see more right. from the look that they gave each other at the bar to them waking up next to
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
But
glad I didn't have to see it though.
Yeah. But they both seemed very like, oh my God, what did we do?
Right.
You know, when they saw each other. So
yeah. But I also feel like there's some kind of longing there for both of them, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they regret it and they know it was wrong. But I feel like both of them kind of, I don't know, have unfinished business.
I see exactly what you're saying, Megan. I want to talk about Dev. I haven't listened to much of Smash Chat, so you guys might have already talked about this. But what is his deal? Like, is he really that stressed out, like, so vulnerable, so lost in the world that he would actually cheat on Karen, who he's planning on marrying, obviously, and still loves, with Ivy? Like, I'm sorry, like, that whole situation with Dev and his entire development through these 14 episodes, I think, is absolutely insane. If I knew Dev personally, I would have called his shit out and called Karen and been like, excuse me, this is happening, it needs to stop.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, like, it would have hurt her less if it were RJ, I think. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Like, she would be, upset regardless, because cheating is cheating.
But, right.
I mean, he kind of cut her pretty
deep. This was a very intentional wound. I mean, he went for the jugular with Ivy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, why? Like, what is Dev's deal? I don't get it. Like, what is so troubling to him? I mean, how many times in the last couple of episodes have we seen Karen come up to Dev and say, hey, is everything okay? What's wrong? Is everything, you know, it's like he's constantly like in this mode where like he's depressed and has to, you know, come up with a reason to even have a conversation with mm-hmm. her. I don't know. Yeah. It's so weird to me. And there's, for me, as a casual viewer, I would say, I don't really see what it is other than maybe the job situation.
Yeah, I definitely think that he is from the whole like school of thought where the man is supposed to be the primary breadwinner. Not yeah. that Karen can't work, but he doesn't want her to be more successful than him.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely probably a part of it. Yeah.
So, but still, I mean, the whole like for him to go from proposing to right. then, yeah, that was craziness.
Craziness. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, moving along, we haven't gotten past the first 5 minutes.
I know. This isn't a good sign if we can't get past letter A in the document. But let's keep going.
Okay, so we're back at the theater, and pretty much the whole cast is gossiping about what's going on with Derek and Rebecca. Ivy isn't there, and they're kind of getting worried about where she is, and she shows up late and is visibly upset, and Karen goes over to her and tries to talk to her and, you know, tell her that she didn't know that this was going on, and Ivy just says to her, she's like, please don't be nice to me, I can't handle it, I will break down if you are nice to me. And we all know that part of that is because she feels guilty about what she just did.
To
Karen, which, hey, at least she feels guilt, you know,
is it guilt actually?
She does. I think that she does feel guilty for it. At least somewhat.
Okay. There's guilt, but I feel like I said before, there's also like longing. Like she kind of, I think she likes Dev. Like, I think she's jealous of Karen because Karen has Dev, and I know she realized that she like stepped in the middle of things, but I feel like, you know, she wants that kind of committed, and this sounds weird because Dev totally cheated on Karen with Ivy, but like Dev obviously cares a lot about Karen and Derek does not like show that he's caring about Ivy. And so I think she wants that attention.
Yeah. I was about to say, I think it's not like Dev specifically, but I think she is jealous of the fact that Karen has a relationship with someone who's so out of the show business scene and is so separate from it, that there's not all that added drama and mess that she's going through with Derek. And so I think that's what's appealing to her, not necessarily like Dev in particular.
Guys, I have a question for you. So one of our commenters had talked about how they don't think they're going to watch the rest of the season on the last two episodes because the show is becoming too soapy for them because of, like, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends cheating on each other with Julia, with Dev, with Derek, whatever. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that? Because it kind of brought up a good point. Like, it opened up to my eyes that that's kind of like a cheap kind of drama almost. It's like it's an easy way to get a good reaction out of your audience, you know?
I'll weigh in on this a little bit. Is as I was starting, you know how like in the mid season it kind of started getting like really good, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that I remember as I was listening or as I was watching those episodes, thinking, oh my gosh, this is so much like a soap opera. But that being said, you know, I subscribe to it. I'm into it. I don't care that it's like that, you know.
I think a lot of primetime, like 10 o'clock hour dramas are like soap operas.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily watch a lot of them, but from the things that I see in previews and hear people talk about, most of them are kind of like that.
But let's also look at it like this. I mean, nearly every person, every main character has cheated in some way. On this show.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, I mean, it really kind of is that sort of over the top, I'm cheating on you, dramatic, you know. I think to like, have you guys ever seen that sketch on SNL where it's like, the like Spanish or like the Hispanic people and they bring these people on and they do this crazy talk show about them cheating on each other and there's like these big dramatic reactions and then they dance at the end. It's kind of like that in a way.
Almost like it is
microcosm of the show. But yeah, I can see where that viewer is coming from Mitch, but there's only
one episode.
It was
Kate, just to give her credit, because, you know, she was pretty intelligent in her comment, too, I should say.
Yeah, for sure. I can totally see where she's coming from. I think that in the first season, where they've spent so much money advertising this show, I mean, Mitch, you remember when we were in New York together, everywhere you looked was a Smash billboard. I mean, everywhere you looked was a Smash.
Every single taxi on their top had one of those Smash little mini posters on it. It was crazy.
And for the first time in Times Square, I think every billboard was taken over or something. There was a certain area in Times Square where, I mean, it was literally like 90-foot billboards of Deborah Messing's face and things like that. So I think that they've spent so much money making this a huge – they want this to be a huge hit or quote-unquote a smash that, you know, they really need the viewers to tune in every week and react and have these – soap opera like reaction. So I can see where that commenter's coming from.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have long-winded responses.
It's okay. You have a lot to say. It's all right, John.
You've been bottling it all up.
Exactly,
yeah.
And you've like watched all of these episodes in a period of about a week and a half.
Yeah, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. I watched the first couple of episodes and then that's when I kind of got behind with it, but then I caught up in the last like 2 weeks. So
okay. Well, let's finish up this scene real quick. Karen goes and actually talks to Rebecca and asks if she's sleeping with Derek. And Rebecca's like, why are you interested in him? And so she tells him that Ivy has been involved with Derek and Rebecca has no idea who Ivy is. And then
she does too.
I know. But then I thought this was very an interesting interaction between them. Karen says, I just don't want anyone to get hurt. And Rebecca says, then get out of show business.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to keep going on and on, but it just seems like Karen is sort of the wandering around helplessly, has no idea what to expect. I mean, I have no experience in show business and I think I know more about it than Karen.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have to prepare for this stuff and she doesn't. Karen always kind of just seems like she's just getting over mono and she's like really looking.
Sorry. You know?
Yeah. And I just feel like she just kind of is like a little bit absent-minded and delusional at times.
It's true. It's actually been a pretty running debate on the show for feelings about Karen. Mitch loves Karen.
I do. And I'm sitting here biting my tongue because I just love her.
Megan likes Karen, but sometimes disagrees with her, and I think that she's the most boring character to grace the television screen.
You know, I gotta be honest. A lot of it does come from Catherine McPhee playing her. I respect her so much as an actress, and I think she needed this big break, and I wanted this to really be everything for her. So it's just more of like, I'm rooting so much for her. Not even that I like Karen herself. Yeah. Just that she got such a big role on a TV show. Like, this is big. But you know what, Jess? I was thinking back to discussion that we were having on Smash Chat a while ago about, is Rebecca really as dumb as she comes off? You know, with Dev was at the restaurant with her, and he was like, no, there's no peanuts in our cooking, but she went over and asked the waiter anyways. Well, and she did that again tonight. Is that just her doing another like feigning dumbness, just
no,
that people
yeah.
like
I
please
didn't.
Her or whatever?
Yeah, no, I never thought that she was dumb. She's very smart, and she is very manipulative, and everything that she does has a purpose and has a motive behind it.
Wait, we're talking about Rebecca now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think that she's very much a manipulative person.
But... Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Well, then we have the grand return of Michael Swift. He gets out of his cab, and there's a very awkward moment. Julia's standing outside with Frank and Leo when he walks in, and they all just kind of stare at each other, and it's really uncomfortable. And then Leo's like, am I the only one who enjoyed that? yeah, you were.
Actually, Leo was like, am I the only one who enjoyed that? So it's a little different than what you said. But yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, sleazy douche. That's all I have to say about Michael.
John, what do you this is just as good a place as any. What thoughts do you have on Leo from
You know, I will say this about Leo. Obviously he sounds like he just woke up from a nap, and maybe him and Karen need to take a nap together or something. But I will say that the actor that plays him for his age and for that role, I think is actually doing a great job. I think maybe one of the more interesting characters because he's so emotionally fragile right now. So I really like to hear what kind of interaction he has. That being said, I don't get the whole like stuttering, slowly drawing out your thoughts like this. And it's almost distracting to a point where you're like, okay, enough. Let's keep it going here.
We all thought he had a mental disability when the show first started.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he does. Maybe we'll find that out, and that'll be another. I don't know.
Maybe. So, okay. Well, anyway, so Julia goes inside and is very curt with everyone. She's not happy to be there and goes and sits next to Tom, and she's trying to ignore him and is not very successful at it. I love it when she's like, I'm not talking to you. And he's like, well, you just did.
Exactly.
It was another one of those moments that reminded me of me and Cody.
Yeah, I had a feeling that you might say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I often try to ignore Cody because he makes me mad frequently. And then I can never do it. So anyway,
that's a sign of a true friendship though. So
yeah,
it is.
Well, then we actually get to see bits and pieces of the preview of the performance preview. And so much, we got to see our first real look at Rebecca as Marilyn in the opening of
bad.
She was not as bad as I thought she was going to be.
We saw her. No, remember when we saw her in her I am Marilyn Monroe, pacha kind of movement?
No, I know we've seen her do stuff before, but this was, yeah. Well, she did that one where she was in the horrible outfit.
Yeah.
But but this
was distracted by it then.
Yeah, and that was also when she was still like sucky. And so this was the first time that we saw her.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. When she's, you know, the keys have all been lowered to fit her range better, and it's, you know, supposed to be better, and she's rehearsed more. She was in the Let Me Be Your Star. I thought she started out pretty good, like decently, but then got weak when she tried to get the beltier notes. And
yeah.
You know, that was a little rough.
Uma Thurman pregnancy watch. Do we see it yet? Do we see her baby bump in this episode? Because she has
to
be getting
it. Well.
They didn't. It was very well covered.
Because we haven't talked about that in a while.
I thought she already had her baby maybe by the time that this all was airing. But now she's gaining her pregnancy?
Yeah, throughout the episodes.
Yeah, I think that maybe when they started her, she was still pregnant.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
That makes
just
sense.
Just because I know, like, the ugly outfit I distinctively remember from one episode. It was pretty obvious to me that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Whereas now maybe it looks like she might have had a baby and she just has extra weight. I'm not sure. But I feel kind of bad analyzing her weight on the show. Sorry. Sorry, Uma.
Well,
you're
that's
totally
okay.
Listening.
Her extra weight is like a normal woman's super skinny.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, I wish I could look like that.
Yeah. But we do get to see a brand new song called Smash, appropriately enough. And we get to see Karen and Ivy perform in it and singing it. And it was, I loved it.
Me too.
I thought that both girls did great. It was this was the first time in a long time that I enjoyed Karen singing.
Yeah.
And that's probably because she was doing one of these musical theater numbers as opposed to one of the awful pop covers. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this performance. And I thought the chemistry between all of them was great. What did you guys think about it? John, you can go first.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a really cool scene. It gave me a lot of, you know, as you guys might know, and for those of you who are listening, these three on the show and a couple of the others on Glee Chat pitched in and got me a ticket to see How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying with Darren Criss as J. Pierpont Finch. And when I went to see that on Broadway in January, this scene kind of reminded me of it. The guy in the business suit with the cigar and all the beautiful ladies kind of, you know, singing around him. So I had a lot of, I think there was even like a leather couch like that in one of the scenes from How to Succeed. So it was cool to kind of see, I don't know, I there's really no connection, but it was cool to see that kind of sort of theme. Blocking, or I don't know, there was just a lot of connections with that show. But yeah, I thought the performance was great, and I really liked their dresses. They were very poppy and fun to look at. So
absolutely,
really
Megan.
Cool.
I would like to buy a ticket NBC to go see Bombshell.
Seriously?
On Broadway. I really do. I think it would be. I mean, I don't even care if the dialogue in between is super cheesy and terrible. I will go see it because I love all the songs. They're all so good. And I was excited to see this one come out. I actually thought for a second there that the sabotage had already started and that Ivy was Marilyn. For a second there, I was like, oh my God, did she like sabotage her already? And they'll like flash back to that. And then I realized it was an ensemble number and I calmed down.
Jumping ahead of yourself a little
bit.
I was confused as to who Ivy was supposed to be, though.
She had like, you know, I mean, and I guess that was like the 40s, 50s style hair. So I get it.
Right.
You know, and she's blonde and it was just easy for me to make that connection. So,
yeah.
Mitch, what did you think?
Well, I tweeted out as soon as that number started. I was just like, I feel like Rebecca could have already taken her little peanut poison thing going on. and I thought that's what you were going off of, Meg, that maybe like Ivy had taken over for her. But that hadn't happened yet. I was just nervous this whole entire preview. I thought she was going to collapse on stage. I didn't want that whole Ivy collapsing on Heaven on Earth thing to happen again. But I thought of something that we can kind of connect with Glee that in two ways, that Smash tends to like show a full song, regardless of its original song or not. They tend to when Glee doesn't, maybe because Glee adds in more. I'm really appreciating that in Smash. I'm appreciating that we got to see all of the songs Smash tonight. It makes it more, you know, in my mind, I like it a lot more. And something else that I noticed, I don't know if you, John, especially would, because you cover a lot of the Glee music. Smash has a lot of similarities in the same songs of Glee. Like, it's a man's world. Shake It Up was just done in last week's Glee.
Yeah, Rumor Has It was another
one. Like, they really, they just line up about, and Beautiful, of course. So, I mean, I know there's, like, a limited selection of pop songs. I just thought it was odd that they would have chosen any song that's done in Glee ever. I thought they would have tried to avoid those altogether, but I guess not.
Glee's done a lot of songs.
They have, to give them credit.
Glee's not only done a lot of songs, but I feel like there's this sort of, I don't know. I mean, I look at it differently, but there always seems to be this comparison between Smash and Glee. And there was a lot of that hype before Smash came on to air. But, you know, the way that music is handled on television now, I mean, starting with the first season of American Idol, if you ask me, you know, it's almost like you should expect it at some point, you know, mm-hmm. because music and television have sort of found this way to work in tandem that I think that if you're on one of these shows and you're producing them, whether it be Smash or Glee or whatever, you're not worried about where it's been played elsewhere or if it's been on American Idol or if it's been on Smash. You really kind of work, I think, at least this is my perception and from my understanding, with how the music fits into the storyline. At least with Glee, they really focus on that. And obviously with Smash, they have a different focus with this Bombshell production and the storytelling that happens on this on the show. So I don't know that there's really the thing where it's like, oh, this song was already on Glee or whatever, because there's so much music on television now. And I think artists just kind of sign over the rights and say, okay, use my stuff on TV wherever you want. And then mm-hmm. it gets picked up, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
But I agree. I mean, I can see where some people would say, oh, well, Glee already did that. I mean, I was kind of like that with Shake It Out. I was like, oh,
yeah,
they just did that the other day, exactly. You know? So I can see where people could think it, but I don't know that there's really a competition, but maybe there is. I don't know.
Well, and it's not like, you know, Glee put on the show where they did Shake It Out and then Smash recorded it the next day and put it out on TV. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
stuff is planned months in advance.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Okay.
But anyway.
So behind the scenes during the preview, Karen is very preoccupied with Dev and why he won't answer her phone calls. And Ivy's still upset about the whole Derek thing and, you know, is still kind of awkward around Karen. And there's this really sweet moment where the two of them compliment each other and give each other a hug. And I thought that was a nice moment between the two of them. I mean, of course, that's colored by Ivy's knowledge yeah. of what she did, but but still,
yeah,
yeah, she tried.
Yeah, she did, and I really do believe that she feels guilty for what she's done to Kim.
Oh yeah,
well, she certainly isn't like grinning behind the scenes about what she did.
Yeah,
so there's definitely an understanding that she's at least not happy about it.
Yeah, she's pretty miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so then we see Rebecca laid out on this bed doing the final scene, kind of talking through the secondhand piano song. And then she dies and it's the end of the show and no one applauses. And it's kind of awkward. And then they gradually start clapping. And so that's the end of the preview. And it's
so did they totally scrap the shadow selves there, I guess? Weren't the shadow selves supposed to be on?
Oh, yeah, the shadow selves were. I guess they did, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, remember when Rebecca saw Ivy sing that song?
Oh.
She was like, I don't want the shadow selves to do it. I want to do that song.
Oh, yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she
good
was
thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, did I mean, I wouldn't have clapped either, though. It's a depressing ending.
Yeah, it's like at the end of shows like Miss Saigon. You don't, like, as the curtain closes, when I remember when I saw that, I had just, my face was streaming in tears, and I was like, there was no clapping right away.
Yeah. And on the other hand of that, you know, and let's go back to How to Succeed, the final number of the show is Brotherhood of Man, which is one of the best Broadway numbers ever made, and it will leave you with chills up and down your spine, and you can't help but stand up and scream, and the curtain comes down. And everyone's, you know, so it's a completely different thing. So, yeah, I would say if, you know, Marilyn Monroe casually fades into death at the end of of a pretty poppy, in-your-face kind of show, yeah, you're not going to get much of an applause.
Right.
Well, think of, like, so. A way that they try to work around that in Little Shop of Horrors, where everyone got eaten by Audrey 2, and then they kind of had, like, this weird after song. It was, like, some kind of odd epilogue where all the dead characters that were the leads came back and sang just to get that applause. I didn't like that.
That's a very good point, man.
You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I don't think that they should really try and change it. There's some shows that you shouldn't have to have that one last rock concert finale song going on. You know what I mean?
Well, definitely they shouldn't have to have it, but it's one way of getting, you know, the audience to kind of end on a high note, if you will, you know.
But what's intermission? Right. Do we know what's intermission for Bombshell? Because they could get their applause then, at least some of it.
Well, but you still have to remember, like, even if, like, the intermission is amazing, if the end leaves you on a bad note, I mean, that's what people – Yeah. That's the last thought that somebody has, you know? And so even if the rest of the show is fantastic, but then the ending leaves you with a dissatisfied taste in your mouth, you're going to be like, eh.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much.
And that's with most Broadway shows. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so, but I love how we went from like Miss Saigon to How to Succeed to Little Shop. I mean, we really know our Broadway.
We all connect.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Nice.
By we, I mean you guys. Bring up Wicked again.
Well, there you go.
Well, John and I live closer to New York than any of you guys, really. So that's why we get to see a lot of shows.
Yeah,
I was looking for shows when I lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when it's over, Karen is leaving, and she's surprised to see Dev waiting for her. She thought he had gone back to New York. And she apologizes to him, says she overreacted. And then Ivy walks up, and Karen introduces the two of them to each other, and it's awkward. But so that happens. And then we see the big four, Eileen, Tom, Derek, and Julia discussing the ending and why nobody was clapping. And Eileen says that they can't end on a suicide, and Julia just keeps saying, well, she dies. Like, that's what happens. And that's what needs to happen in the musical. So, but Eileen goes on and says that Julia and Tom must rewrite the ending by Monday morning. And she basically won't hear anything else and is like, nope, that's what you got to do, and leaves. And then we see Eileen, Nick, and Sneaky Bastard. By the way, John, you know that we call...
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
You don't even have to tell me, because I'm right on board with that.
We never use his real name. So.
Perfect. I'm on board for this.
Okay, great. So we
Before we move on, why is he even out for drinks with them?
I don't know.
He's an assistant, right, to Eileen?
Yeah.
Because, listen, I get it. Eileen has an assistant. Maybe he's around... I just don't think that Eileen and Sneaky have a relationship where she would invite him out for drinks. From what I understand, she doesn't really particularly love him, you know?
Yeah,
so,
not anymore, but they used
no.
to have drinks.
I think
that's how she met Nick.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more that she not that she necessarily likes him, but she knows he's useful and wants him around for his usefulness. But I agree. It was weird that she would have him. I mean, now that she and Nick are dating...
Right. That's
why would
the weird
she
part.
Invite him along on
to
their
be the
date?
Third wheel on the date?
Awkward.
Well, guys, we're talking about
he
a change.
He probably invited himself.
Yeah, he probably did.
We're talking about a change with Eileen and Ellis, sort of. I'm thinking back to, oh God, I'm talking like episode 5 or 6, where in the end, Eileen was playing the big buck game where you shoot the shotgun at the video game screen in the bar, and she shoots it at the screen. She says, "Now it's my turn." What was that supposed to mean? Because I feel like we're that far into the season that we should have known what her turn was.
You go back to that
you
a
go
lot,
back to that
Mitch.
So much.
Because it had to mean something. Like, you don't end an episode.
It just meant that it was her
turn.
It's the
turn. Alien invasion thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think she just meant that it was her turn to put on a musical and be a success without Jerry or any other man. It was her turn to plow through the world and make her mark. Like,
women's empowerment kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't think there was any
meaning behind it. Than
no.
That.
Well, it also could have been just like her going out with Nick after that, you know?
But I also think that
Mitch is not going to let it go.
No, I'm done. You know what? I'm done with it. No, don't worry. I'll let it go.
Off with Ellis was when they got into that little fight in her office about he was being a little nosy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, typically. And, you know, she said something to him, but I don't remember exactly what he was being nosy about. Because, come on, if I have to keep track of all his nosiness, I'm not going to have a life.
Right, exactly.
So, but I think that it was something
when
he
it was,
did.
Was it when he looked into Nick's background?
I don't remember. I think it was something
that
after
was when
that,
she actually yelled at him and was like, you had no right.
Yeah, but then she ended up looking anyway.
Yeah.
It was something else. I don't remember.
While we're on the subject of Nick, doesn't he have a broken hand?
Yeah, I wonder what happened. I think he got into a street fight.
I'm wondering what the motive was. Because, I mean, yeah, we kind of get that he's rough and, you know, whatever, one of those sort of street kind of guys. But if for them to use it on the show and really kind of, you know, to have Eileen notice it, it's almost like they're setting us up to find out who he might have been in a fight with. And I'm wondering if it's Eileen's ex-husband.
Ooh. That's a good theory.
I like that.
Ooh. Yeah.
I would love that. We'll
see. Maybe we'll find out next week on the finale.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Sneaky Bastard gives his great declaration that the problem isn't just the ending, it's Rebecca, that she isn't hitting her numbers and Derek isn't going to be able to fix her and da, da, da. And Eileen's like, since when are you the director?
Yeah. I think he has a point there, though. I mean, I think that there's something, you know, as annoying as he is, that is true, I would say. Although we're not in the audience, so what do we know? You know,
right.
We're not at the previews.
She leaves something to be desired, but come on, dumbass. It was your idea to get to the first place. You might as well be, like, you know, kicking your own self in the foot.
Oh, that's a good point.
I feel like it's really stupid of him to be pointing out this mistake of his.
His own mistake, yeah.
Eileen, well, but
he's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
He's really not.
So Nick and Eileen basically tell him he needs to leave and go home. So he goes, and then we get to see Eileen sing. She sings a song called September Song. And what did you guys think of getting to hear Angelica Houston sing?
Well, I'll just weigh in and just let every Smash Chat listener know that I strive to be Angelica Houston every way I can in life. So I think she's amazing, the actress and the character of Eileen. So I really like this. I thought it was a really beautiful, low-key sort of mellow song that kind of fits her personality in some way. Mm-hmm. Because Eileen can be very fierce and in your face, but she does have this calmness about her that just seems like, I call it the Dumbledore effect, you know?
Yes!
Where she just kind of is all knowing and understands what's going on everywhere and can be like in your face and tell you what's going on, but also have this calmness about her. And I feel like that song really kind of, you know, fit her personality.
Nice, John. I like that.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that? Because I think John pretty much just nailed it.
Yeah, he did. Totally nailed it. Awesome. The only thing I didn't like was the talk singing, but that's okay because it wasn't the whole song.
Yeah. Oh, I thought of you, Megan.
Talk singing. But she had a very nice voice. I didn't know that she sang ever, but. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just me being naive.
And let's just point out that we have one episode left, and we have seen pretty much every character sing except for Julia.
Mm. Yeah, she needs to sing.
Seriously? Well, then we see this really cute scene with Tom and Sam. They're out. They were having ice cream, I believe, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, because ice cream is fabulous.
It's the best.
It is. And Tom says that he is, you know, nervous about the fight he and Julia are in, that she's never been this mad at him before. And Sam tells him that they're like an old married couple and we'll get through it. And then Sam asks him to go to church with him on Sunday. And Tom is a little apprehensive about that, to say the least. But I love the two of them together. They are so stinking cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love them. I don't know if I have mentioned this, but Tom was one of the characters in the very beginning of the season that I was sort of like, you know, they're going to make him this stereotype gay person that the show kind of needs to be a show about Broadway, blah, blah, blah. And over these 14 episodes, he's slowly become my, like, most favorite character.
Oh, I love him.
Love Tom. And I love him with Sam and not the other guy.
Not John, yeah.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Of all the names to forget, it was my own. So,
right.
But I totally love these two together.
Yes, we do too. We gush about them all the time.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, Karen and Deb make up. They do the deed. And and as they're laying in bed, they have pillow talk and reminisce about when they first met. And Karen tells him that she's not going to let RJ ruin their relationship, that that would be stupid, and that she does want to marry him.
Mm.
I was so shocked.
Me too.
That she said that. Like, that's awesome that she is going to forgive him for kissing RJ and wants to move on from that. But it still surprises me that she's jumping from all that mess to saying, okay, yes, I will marry you.
This is what you call a dysfunctional relationship.
Relationship, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I was sort of giving Dev a hard time for being all over the place, but maybe Karen's just as much all over the place, and that's what kind of brings them together in some way.
They are both all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, their relationship is out of control.
It really is.
It is. Mitch, do you have anything to say about this?
Well, I was just kind of upset that she was, I'll admit it, dumb enough to not realize something was wrong. And she was just like, oh, so I'll marry you now. This all works. You're upset? Yeah. Oh, you're fine. We'll still get married, though, right? Like, I don't know how dumb you can be to not notice that he's depressed and, you know, really upset over something.
I was thinking the same thing the whole time. I'm like, really? You're not even going to say what's wrong? Or like when she was saying, yeah, we can get married. We can get married. And he was just looking at her like in misery. I would. My automatic reaction was to like cower and be like, oh, OK, maybe you don't want to marry me anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And well, like, I feel like she is just. The thing with this relationship that bothers me is they're both in it when it's convenient for them. You know, it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's like, oh, well, you know, Rebecca's sick. And I don't even know if Rebecca was sick at that point. It doesn't matter. But, you know,
no, they're just I agree.
Ridiculous.
Sorry,
yeah.
Not to interrupt you, Megan.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I just feel like neither of them should be in a relationship right now. They're both in very different places in their lives. Dev has always had this weird animosity about her. I've never really liked the way he's treated her. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if Karen's using things like Tech Week as a reason to not interact with your boyfriend that you're very serious with, then you shouldn't be in a relationship because you clearly have other things that are taking a higher priority. And that's sort of been a theme in other ways, too. You know, we see that with Julia and Tom throughout the rest of the episode. So, you know, when you're giving up that kind of sacrifice, you know, you're giving up so much of your life for your career. If you can't put your personal relationships, especially a potential husband, then you need to really kind of reassess your priorities because otherwise you're going to have a situation like this where it's just kind of blowing up right in front of you. So, yeah, I think, Megan, you're absolutely right. It just seems like whenever it's convenient and whenever they can find the time, it's great, but all the other times are terrible and miserable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's part of their problem is they don't ever talk about anything.
Yeah.
Like, they never solve their problems. Like, they never talk about things and finalize and, like, you know,
they
come
blow
to a
up.
Conclusion. They blow up, cool down, blow up, cool down.
Yeah.
I mean, she was texting him the whole night, and he didn't answer and then shows up after the show.
And then she's like, oh, well, I want to marry you, obviously, because you don't respond to any of my texts. What is that?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's very bizarre. It makes
sense.
That's
the quality I look for, you know.
Well, from one dysfunctional couple to another, Ivy approaches Derek and asks him about Rebecca. And, oh, my Lord, he says Rebecca needed his attention and he is giving it to her. And he says, quote, is there any other approach? Yeah. And she is clearly upset. And he's like, come on, we're both professionals. You're a professional. And she's like, yes, I am. He's like, that's why we work together, because we are professionals and we know how the business works. Ew.
ew. Get someone else to flame her fire, you know? What? Why
she needs attention and I'm giving it to her? Is there any other approach? What?
I mean, the only thing that I could think about in the scene wasn't there something with Marilyn Monroe where, like, obviously she had affairs and, you know, there's that whole sort of mythology about who she was and why she was like that. I can see Derek's stance being like, okay, I want my leading actress, my Marilyn Monroe, to really live out these Marilyn Monroe type situations. And we saw a lot of that, I think, in the beginning when he was sort of with Ivy and then kind of with Karen in those ways. That was the only justification I could give to this quote. Otherwise, I was like, what is going on here? Like, it really made no sense to me. But
yeah. No,
but yeah, totally such a weird, I get a weird feeling from Derek. I don't like him that much.
Yeah, it was so bizarre.
I used to. I liked him before he had that excuse. I thought he was going to say that, like, she seduced him or something, and I was going to be a little bit more accepting of that answer. But the fact that he said that he was doing it because she needed attention, well, gross.
Creepy. Yeah, it's really kind of like, you know, creepy child molester kind of mentality.
It is. It's gross. It's just flat out gross. Yeah.
Chester molester.
Okay, so a little bit later we see Rebecca talking on the phone and Karen is walking by and overhears the conversation. She tells us that she's talking to her shrink and she's complaining about the lack of applause and everything, and Karen goes to talk to her and is, you know, trying to help her and give her comfort and stuff. And then Rebecca's drinking her smoothie and begins to have trouble breathing, and Karen calls out for help. So here's the scene that we were all waiting for.
Have you ever seen so much development in an inanimate object? I mean, how much smoothie talk have we had in the last couple of episodes?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen smoothies and kales, and we see people making smoothies, and then Ivy's moving a smoothie cart, or somebody's moving a smoothie cart in front of Ivy.
Talk about setting it up. I mean, hello.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen, I mean, some of the characters on the show don't get that much development. So I think the kale smoothie should win an Emmy. That's what I'll say about that. Well, it really stole the show on this episode.
If Cody were here, he'd say it deserves a Grammy and an Oscar, too.
Yeah,
All the awards.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Derek then tells everybody that Rebecca is in the hospital because she had a severe allergic reaction to peanuts, which were in the smoothie, but that she will be all right and that they are hopeful that she will be able to continue in her role. Randall. Go ahead.
I kind of noticed when she was drinking the smoothie that she seemed to like know that something was wrong, but she kept drinking it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, she said that.
She says,
I know she admits it later.
Oh, but you were saying you noticed it right away.
But I noticed that she did that, and I was like, what?
Yeah, she made a face and did this thing with her hand.
Yeah.
Where she was like, ooh, that's weird, and then kept drinking it and got more severe and more severe.
Yeah.
I saw it too, Megan.
Is masochistic the right word for what she is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some way.
So Eileen gets a text and runs out, and she sees Randall, and he tells her that he believes it was a deliberate sabotage, that somebody put the peanuts in her smoothie on purpose because she was always so scrupulous and careful about not consuming any kind of peanuts. So the big four again discuss the situation, and Eileen tells them Randall's theory, and they are trying to figure out what to do, and Eileen is like, well, you just need to keep working on the song. Julia asks what happens if Rebecca can't do it because Karen doesn't know the part, and somebody is like, well, or Tom, I believe, is like, Ivy knows it, so we can have Ivy, and Eileen's like, let's not worry about that now and just get the song written and get the ending written and figure it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of development here, but I think it really kind of just moved the plot along.
I mean,
mm-hmm. Not much to really say here, but
yeah. No, not at all.
I maintain that I really do think that sneaky bastard poisoned her.
Well, here's the thing about that. If she's so crazy about peanut allergies, and we've seen her sort of, you know, make sure there aren't peanuts and things or whatever, then why is she having other people make her smoothies? I mean,
yeah, maybe she did it to herself. Maybe.
Well, I think that's the thing. Is she self-sabotaging? Which we find out later she secretly kind of kept drinking because she didn't. She was so scared.
Right.
So maybe that's like the risk she was kind of hoping for.
That's actually, Commenter Kate, which seems like we're going to be talking a lot about her tonight because she, like I said, had a great comment. She predicted that too, that she would have self-sabotaged. I agree that with all you guys that I think it's a great plot device to move the story along in a way we don't really expect it, you know?
Right.
Because they're not talking about she did it to herself. They're talking about maybe it was Karen, maybe it was Ivy.
Right.
Well, I do believe that somebody else put the peanut in there. Like, I don't think, you know, that she did that. But she definitely, I mean, she admits later that she kept drinking. But, yeah, I agree it was probably sneaky bastard. But then maybe he's the too obvious choice and it's somebody else that they're going to pull out of left field.
Well, I don't get – the only motive I could think about with that was maybe to get Ivy To be the lead. But again, this was his creation, having Rebecca there.
Yeah,
so.
But he, for the past several episodes, he's been up Ivy's ass.
Right, exactly. So that's the only motive I can think of, would be to get Ivy to the front. But we haven't really, as, you know, as fans and as the audience of the show, have seen that kind of conversation come up, mm-hmm. you know? So,
you know, maybe Sneaky Bastard wanted Rebecca to, you know, get this role, and he, you know, in his head and his plan, he was going to be a big part of this. He's the one who was going to get her, secure her. He was going to be involved in the production and working with her, and, like, you know, his star would move up. And then he got pushed to the side. He got kicked to the curb. So he's like, well, crap, that plan fell through. So let me find another way that I can rise to the top. Ooh, Ivy, she's a hot mess. I'll hook up with her and start manipulating her and helping her star shine up, and then she'll be grateful to me yeah. and pull me up with her. Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. That could be it.
Well, you know what I thought of? I thought of, what if it's Julia? What if she's trying to, like, take her revenge for them bringing back Michael Swift? So she's going to sabotage the whole thing. If she can't have it her way, no one can.
I mean, that would all hinge on...
It would be a surprise. Like, that would be a shocker.
I mean, it would all hinge on everybody knowing that she has a peanut allergy. So, I mean, you know, when it comes to how they were going to sabotage specifically, it would have to be somebody that knew she had a peanut allergy.
Well, everyone did, because everyone always heard her like, oh, she had to go get her special chips to do it.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Even Dev knows he's like an outside party member, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
She's a celebrity, we got to understand. Like, so, you know, you would know more about a celebrity than any other normal person.
Yeah, right. I mean, it could be like public knowledge that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just we know that Alicia Silverstone is a vegetarian. You know,
right?
Right.
Well,
I mean, it's possible, but yeah. I don't. It would be a big shocker to me.
You know what? I can see it actually being not even just being possible. I see it as being a big stretch. Even though I came up with the theory, I'll knock it down. Because why would she want to destroy her baby? Maybe it goes back to what I was saying. Like, it's not my baby anymore. It's changed so much. And in that, we have an actor I don't want to be in it, being the lead role in that. You know, like, the first actor in a role is very important. We're never going to forget that Idina Menzel was Elphaba, ever. Absolutely. You know?
Well, yeah. I think if Julia was going to do anything to sabotage the show, it would be towards Michael, not this, like, roundabout way through Rebecca, because they're just going to get somebody else to play Marilyn. It's not going to...
Yeah, this kind of planting the allergy into the smoothie thing is definitely a Sneaky Bastard thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't really see anybody else except maybe Ivy.
But she was so preoccupied, you know, that I mean, maybe she was desperate enough that she would have done it.
Hmm.
But
yeah, but remember how Ellis was like on a mission to get Ivy again?
Yeah.
You know, this fits in with that theory.
That's true. Yeah.
I agree. Okay.
All right.
So let's move on.
To another big thing here.
Right. So Dev text messages Ivy. And he thinks that he left his engagement ring in her room and wants her to go look for it. Again, ew.
Okay, I was literally screaming at my TV. I'm like, you did not take the ring to the room and leave it there.
Right?
Who are you? Like, how does that happen? You can remember your clothes, you can remember your wallet, you can remember all your other stuff, but you somehow left your engagement ring there. I mean,
yeah.
I think
Wouldn't it have been in his pocket?
Yeah, it would have been in his pocket.
So, like, what's going on there? I mean, I think it's sort of a symbolic message of how serious he is taking his relationship with Karen. I mean, he just leaves it by the wayside, doesn't really pay any attention to it, except when it's convenient and he needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Great point,
and
John.
And also, can I ask why he texted her to come meet him downstairs?
Suddenly we get your text messages because you weren't answering them whenever Karen was, you know, back to
He sucks. He totally sucks.
He's the worst.
I mean, that was just probably visually for us to see them talking, because it's really boring to see characters texting back and forth. We don't get that connection. between the actors.
I love seeing characters text, like, because I'm always like, what are they saying? Like, whenever there's a note or something, I get really mad when they don't show it on the screen long enough for us to read it.
I get like, so mad. Well, and my eyesight sucks. So, like, even when they show it, I'm like, it takes me so long to read it that I'm like, only on the third word. And it goes, when I'm like, damn it. I have to rewind it and pause.
Remote and like pausing it, and she goes to get her glasses, and she's like looking up the glass.
I do.
To figure out what's on screen.
There have been times when I have literally had to get up and crawl closer to the TV.
Oh my goodness,
that's awesome.
You know,
I just get nervous. I get nervous and not gonna be able to read at all. And do you guys ever do this where you kind of speed read it because you feel like they're not going to show it for long, and then you don't get the gist of it, and they leave it up for a little bit longer? You're like, I could have read it normally the first time. So then you just go reading it back slowly, and you still miss just as much as you would the first time.
Yeah. No, because I can't speed read it.
Yeah, Glee does this every once in a while. They'll show, like, in particular, I'm thinking of when Kurt was getting those text messages from Chandler.
That is the time I had to pause.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you have to kind of pause that stuff.
It's stressful. It's not like on YouTube you can just pause it to read it, you know?
Right.
Okay. Karen is back at the room with Dev, and she's worrying about, you know, what's going to happen, and is talking to Dev about it, and whether or not she'll be able to take over as the understudy if Rebecca can't go in. And she's just freaking out, and Dev picks up the book and gives it to her, and like a gesture to say, you can do this and keep practicing at it. You can get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, not much to say there. Okay. So then we have the scene where Julia runs into Michael in the hotel lobby, and he wants to talk. And they go over to the side, and he tells her that he came for her because he knew that they would not have asked him back if she wasn't okay with it and if she didn't want him to be there. Like, it was a subliminal secret message to him that she wanted to rekindle their love affair. And she tells him that she absolutely did not want him back, and she was ready to walk away but didn't because of Frank and Leo. And she's like, I can't even talk to you. And he gets closer to her and is like, why not? And it looks like they're about to kiss. And he kind of leans in, and then she pushes him away very forcefully and sticks her finger in his face.
The finger.
Like, no.
Oh, I love that.
I love the finger.
It was like disciplining a dog.
Yes, exactly what I thought of.
And she just sticks the finger in his face and just keeps like shaking it at him. And then walked away.
I think she gave him the eye.
She did. She totally did.
Bad
sleep. We should mention, though, just before she pushes him away, I don't know about you guys, but I got this glimpse that maybe for a split second she was going to give in. And I'm at my TV, and I'm like, don't do it. Do not do this. Do not do this. Do not do this. I'm literally screaming at my TV.
I held my breath. I was like, no!
If she kissed him, I would have died, because the emotional turmoil that the show dragged me through with that whole situation a couple of episodes ago, where things are finally back to normal with her and Frank, even a slight give in of that would have really, really, really just completely, I would have just died. I don't know if
Everyone
I would have been
hated
alive.
Julia.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so glad that she went through.
I'm right there with you, John. I was so scared.
Me
there
too.
Was that look that they shared, and then when she pushed him away, I was like, oh, thank God.
I was literally like clapping.
Well, and what planet is he on where he gets punched in the face by Frank. And thinks that this whole thing is some secret message that Julia still wants to do things? And I'm pretty sure the last time that they saw each other, he was saying that he wanted to be with his lovely little family in the park. And I was like, what is wrong with this guy? They're just using him as a plot device. And I'm so glad that nothing happened.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, Megan.
Yeah. I was even thinking about like security camera footage. Like, and how, like, if Frank were to watch that, he would know that, you know,
right.
Beyond a doubt.
All I could see was them when they were staring at each other, even if they didn't kiss, Frank walking by and seeing that intimate.
Yes. Oh, I would have hated that.
No.
Oh my God. I was waiting for Frank to walk by. I thought it was going to happen and then he was going to beat him up again. But
yeah, you
know, I think I like the way she put her finger out too. And I think it was a great way to show how to control a situation like that without being overly emotional or physical. She really seemed like she was containing herself really well, you know?
Yeah.
Maturely, I think, mm-hmm. which was not the Julia we knew from the beginning of the season. So
definitely.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, isn't she somewhat of a famous person? You think that at least amongst her peers of other Broadway people, they would recognize, oh, that's Julia. And maybe they had heard through the grapevine that she was having this affair with Michael Swift. At least the first or the second time they would have heard word of it, you know? So why didn't any of them, you know, want to go and report to Frank? I feel like we could still see that in the next episode. Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, I agree that there are probably people in that world that definitely would know her and recognize her, but right. I don't think that it's like the hotel is full of Broadway. You know, they're in Boston, so it's not like they're like there's people there for the show, but it's not like it's a hotel full of people that would know her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but I can also see Stinky Bastard like peeking around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely possible that something like that could happen. But I feel like if they were going to go that route, they usually pan the camera and show you Sneaky Bastard lurking.
Right.
Or...
So that's the thing you should do, Jess. You should go back and watch your DVR of the episode. You should zoom in on every little frame and look for him. Just like, where's Waldo? Where's Sneaky Bastard?
Behind the plants.
Nice.
He's under the couch. He's on the balcony.
He's like painted into the couch like Peter.
Oh, he's behind the picture's eyes.
Yeah. Oh, like a Scooby-Doo cartoon or something. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Julia walks in to the auditorium again, and Tom is tinkering on the piano, and Julia just looks at him and she says, I could kill you. And she tells him that Michael tried to kiss her and asks Tom why he agreed to bring him back. Why did he steamroll her and let them, you know, convince him that this was okay? And Tom stands by his decision. And then Julia tells him that he put the show ahead of her and her family, and she doesn't know if she can fix this situation. And he tells her that it is not his fault. She did this to herself. He's not the one who did it to her, that he was against it from the beginning, that he was supportive of her, loved her, but told her that she was making a mistake, that she's the one who did this. And they just kind of go back and forth of saying, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault. And then she says that they had always been a team, but that actually they're not a team because the show is more important than everyone involved. And she says, I'm leaving. I'm going to go see my family, and walks off. And he's like, but we have to work. And she yells, the stupid song will be finished, and walks off.
I had a very strong reaction to this.
I did too, but you can go ahead.
Okay. I will just say this. I am totally team Tom on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Julia, I can see Julia's point. I can totally see how she could be upset. But listen, that was her mistake. If you're a cheater, that is your mistake that you decided to do. It's not a happenstance. It's not a circumstance. Mm-hmm. It's not something that fell upon you. It is a mature adult decision that you decided to do. If you can't handle the repercussions of that, which go beyond your family, they go into your professional life, I'm sure, in most scenarios in the world, that is not the production's problem. And he was the best choice for who had to be hired for that position. So again, I'm sitting here and, this scene was awesome. I love the back mm-hmm. and forth that they had. I think it's one of those conversations. I could go on for days about Julia and Tom. I think they're amazing. But I'm, again, another scene where I'm clapping for Tom because that's exactly right. And, you know, there was a scene, and I don't want to jump ahead here, but there's a scene at the end where they both apologize to each other. And I'm thinking, what is Tom apologizing for? He's done everything right, if you ask me. But anyways, yeah. Jess, you had a similar reaction.
Oh, yeah. I was totally with Tom on this. I mean, I get why Julia was upset that he didn't stand by her and by what she felt like she needed. But she is the one who put herself in this position. She's the one that did this to herself. And he was right. I mean, it was not his fault. None of this was his fault. It was not his responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you mix your personal and your professional life, that's why so many people don't do it, because you sometimes have to make hard decisions for what's best for your profession and your career that might mess up the personal relationship. And this was one of those instances where he had to take a step back and look at his relationship with Julia and the work that they were doing and make the best decision for that work.
For the work, exactly, yeah.
And that's what he did.
Mitch or Megan, do you guys have any contrasting theories, or are you guys on Team Tom as well?
Well, I'm totally Team Tom on this one, but I think that the problem here is Julia has gone through so much emotionally, and the fact that, 'cause Tom, he did kind of stay back during this whole thing, but what choice did he have, really? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she shut herself out. And, you know, I think she's forgetting that she did that and expecting him to, like, you know,
cater to her. Yeah.
Cater to her, exactly. And, you know, I think he's totally in the right here. I can't believe that she even went off on him like this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, that the scene was fantastic, but I was surprised that she was so adamant about it, considering that this was all her problem to begin with.
I think that a big part of where she was coming from is she's just coming off of this intense interaction with Michael, where he almost tried to kiss her, and she had to exercise so much restraint in that, as well as, like, pumping herself up and steeling herself for what she had to do for turning him down and getting out of that situation. And then she has been wanting to put the blame elsewhere and is so angry and so upset. And then it was just everything just bubbled over and exploded on Tom, and he's the one that got the brunt of it.
Yeah.
And which, you know, that happens in any relation all the time. When you, the people that you're closest to, those are the people that you lash out with.
Yeah, it's called projecting, you know.
Yeah.
You have an inner conflict that you want others to feel, basically.
And you lash out and you project onto the people that you're closest with, and because you know you feel safe with them and you know that they'll forgive you.
And you almost expect that they'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I do understand why she, like, freaked out on him, but I agree with Tom's arguments. So, Mitch, did you have anything to add to any of this?
Well, it seems like this, that I could really understand why Deborah Messing might get the lead actress nomination for, like, you know, best lead actress, because I really agree with the Kyle we read from Lyle, I believe it was, last week, that was just going off on how we really Jeff D, how we are seeing, like, a rise in the star of the show that is going to get that kind of nomination. But she honestly, she deserves it, because she brought chills to my backbone in this scene. And no matter how much I don't agree with her reasoning, I feel for her, because she creates such a human Julia. I absolutely just love Julia as a person, and I wish I could have her as a friend, even though she seems like a pretty horrible friend. At the end of the day, she's gonna blame Tom for all this kind of stuff.
Deborah Messing brings so much to the table with Julia, and it's great. And just every scene between her and Tom, whether they are happy or having a fight, like, this is just riveting and draws you in and is just amazing.
Absolutely.
So word gets out that Rebecca is indeed going to be back, and we see all the cast kind of gathering at the bar in various states of reaction, and Karen's there with Dev, and Ivy and Dev look at each other. I thought they were going to set this up for something to happen again, because they were both drinking and definitely nothing else happened.
My God, are they alcoholics on this show? They drink every night, it seems.
Seriously. And then it's Sunday morning, and Sam and Tom and Ivy are outside the church with Sam's family. And then
I like how your voice went, and then it's Sunday morning, and it's a beautiful day, and everyone seems happy. Yeah. That was a nice inflection change. That was perfect.
Thanks. And so the rest of the cast then shows up hungover. And
love it.
I know. And then we see Karen and Dev walk up, and then Julia and her family shows up. I love it when Tom looks at Sam. He's like, anybody else come? And you didn't invite Derek, did you? But when Julia and them get there, Julia very pointedly ignores Tom. And then Frank is like, hey, Tom, smooth over the awkwardness. So they all go in and it's a fantastic church service, like a stereotypical black church service.
I want to go to that church.
It did seem kind of fun.
I would go to church if it was that exciting.
Well, there are a lot of churches like that.
Yeah. I know. I need to just go, right?
You can go to a church that is predominantly African American.
Yes.
I know. Mm-hmm. They know how to praise. I'm saying.
Well, Sam and Karen get to sing a song. They sing the song, and they are backed up by the fabulous gospel choir. And I really enjoyed this song. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that I liked a song Karen did outside of the Broadway genre. I mean, this still wasn't a pop song. It was a gospel song, but right. I really enjoyed it. And it was fun getting to hear Sam sing again. He's got a nice little voice. And so it was fun.
You know what when the song first came on, I didn't know the song Stand at all, but they said something like, what do you do? And I was like, with the BA in English. I was thinking Avenue Q because it's always on my brain, apparently.
Yeah, it is. I think we need to keep a tally of how many times Mitch mentions Avenue Q on this show.
Oh, because it's just so fun.
It's a lot.
It is a lot, I gotta admit.
That and Legally Blonde.
That and Legally Blonde, John.
Oh, I'm down for Legally Blonde references.
Oh, yeah, Mitch mentions
both of them. Like, yep. At least once every episode.
Last week, I kept them doing the Spring Fling Beer Bash Extreme because they were like on a spring fling, you know, all that.
Right. I like this performance as well. I actually wasn't familiar with it either. I mean, it kind of sounded familiar, but I didn't know like the artist or anything. And I actually used my Shazam app on my phone to try to figure out who the original was, but it came back and gave me the Smash version. Yeah. Ew. So I was like, boo, this isn't what you're supposed to be used for.
What's Shazam? Tell us. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Shazam is an app on the iPhone. It's actually, I will say, the first app I downloaded on the iPhone 5 years ago. It's the only one that I've ever kept all the way through. Basically, it's an app. Oh, sorry.
There's also one called SoundHound that I love too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. SoundHound is the same thing. Basically, Mitch, Shazam is you launch the app and you press the button and you hold it to whatever the song is playing. And in like, if there's a song on the radio or, you know, on TV and in like 5 or 6 seconds, it'll pull up the artist and the title of the song for you.
Cool. I'm surprised I'm really surprised that it didn't confuse the song with What Do You Do With The BA in English?
Yeah.
Because of the lyrics, just based on the lyrics. But you probably played it halfway through the song at least.
Yeah, it was like halfway through. So.
Oh, but that's really neat. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
idea.
Check it out. Yeah.
I'm used to like the old fashioned, like try and catch like half of a verse, Google it, and get like 10 different songs that you didn't want.
Yeah. Mitch, you're old school in that way.
I am very old school in that way.
Which is funny because he's the youngin.
Yeah, I
youngin funny. Who's not old school with cassettes or VHSs.
Who doesn't know what anything is?
I do know what they are.
Okay. Well, everybody kind of seems to have an emotional reaction during the song. And when it's over, Tom goes over to Julia and he makes the suggestion that they end the show with Marilyn going to church. Julia says that that's a good idea, but that she has a better idea. And then they're just quiet for a second and then they both simultaneously say that they're sorry.
And so we didn't find out what Julia's idea was.
No, we did not. They're saving that for next week.
That's the big thing. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we did not. So, but I was so glad that they apologized and made up before this episode was over. That was stressing me out.
Me too.
So
yeah, you root for Tom and Julia a lot. So it was upsetting to see them not talking to each other. This just brought me back to those moments in the last episode, or maybe it was the episode before that, when Tom was like getting choked up, And he was all, oh, it was when Leo went missing. When, and yes. found him, oh. And he's like crying. And I'm like, Tom, I love you so much.
I
don't
know.
Cry.
I mean, that was they sweet. Are seriously the best relationship on this show.
Yeah, they really are. And this that scene kind of reminded me of that. So very sentimental.
And then outside, Dev and Karen are talking, and Dev is about to tell Karen about what happened between him and Ivy, but she gets a phone call from Rebecca and leaves, so he does not. And then we see her at the hospital, and this is when Rebecca tells us that she believes someone did it on purpose as well, because she could taste the peanut in the smoothie, but she drank it anyway, and she tells Karen that she is not going to remain on the production. So remember, we knew that she was going to be on for 5 episodes, and she came on but there were 6 on the show, and I was like, did that first one where she was on for 2 seconds count, or is she not going to be on the finale?
This is the Damian McGinty effect.
Where exactly.
We're trying to figure out how many episodes you're going to be on.
So now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah.
But so what did you guys think about her decision that she is not going to stay on the show? Were you surprised by it?
Well, was this confirmed that she's done with Smash? Like, she's not going to be on the next episode at all?
I guess not. I mean, it sounds like they're setting up the finale as if Karen or Ivy are going to take over.
Well, I'm sure she's going to go see it. Like, they'll show her in the crowd, but I don't know if they're going to count that as, like, a guest appearance.
Maybe, but maybe not.
I think she's over it. I don't think that she would want to see anybody else role that she failed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that she just...
I think she's going home.
I think she's leaving, yeah. And I think that, you know, it's totally logical that she's stepping down. I mean, I think she realized when she first showed up that she wasn't really qualified, but she was like, whatever, I'm going to make it work. And then I think she like kind of let the whole Marilyn thing to get to her head.
Yes, because,
you know, playing Marilyn Monroe, that's like a super iconic thing. And I think she knows that if she gets it wrong, people are going to trash her reputation. Really bad.
She definitely always seemed like the star that really wanted to be fantastic, but just didn't have the talent to do that.
Yes.
And I think it sort of came to a head with the whole situation, and she's ready to say goodbye. So
yeah,
I think that'll be it with her. Maybe we'll see her next season or something, but
maybe. I think definitely the lack of applause, like that did it for her. Because she needs the accolade.
Right, well, exactly.
On that applause, when it first was happening, I thought it was just like one of those like slow clap moments where it was going to be like everyone's so shocked and hurt by what Marilyn just did to herself. And then, oh my God, that was just so great. And, you know, they're all starting to cry and clap and stand up. I thought it was a good applause. And then it just faded out before it really built up. Like, I thought it was still building before the applause faded out. I was just confused about why they were like, oh, we didn't get any applause. I was like, because you didn't show it all to us. I thought you had plenty of applause going on there. You only showed us like the main dancers coming on. You didn't even show like, you know, Karen, Ivy, and Rebecca coming on. It was crazy. I didn't buy that part of the storyline.
I definitely felt like the applause was lackluster.
Yeah, and we kind of see one of the guys in front of Derek get up and leave before the scene's over. So you kind of get the illusion that we're about to see something disastrous happen with the audience.
People looked confused, too. Like,
you see
them looking around at each other, like, what just happened?
Well, they were finale music.
Yeah.
For, like, the bow music.
What, Mitch?
They were just waiting for the bow music, like the to come on so they can clap. They don't want to be rude.
No, I think that, you know, because normally you will clap before that, you know? And I think they were confused, like, is this how it ends? Is this it?
I agree.
Kind of weird.
It was a weird ending. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It was.
I mean, yes, she dies, but... could we be more depressing?
Yeah.
Well, maybe she should have been crying as opposed to just being like, oh, I'm dead. That would be much more emotional.
I love Mitch's girl impression.
Okay. Well, the last little shot, Karen tells the rest of the ensemble about Rebecca's decision, and they all are just sitting around wondering who's going to play Marilyn, and Karen and Ivy just kind of look at each other, and you're like, uh-oh, here comes the rivalry again.
Yeah, and what are your guys' thoughts about that? Because I wonder if they'll do something like, you know, double cast it, where they'll some of them will play Karen will play Marilyn certain times, Ivy at other times, because that's not uncommon. You know, that happens pretty frequently. I don't know about Broadway. Typically, especially with when you're trying to make a huge hit, you know have an originator that's really sort of the anchor of the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I could totally see them appeasing both of the actors and both of the characters on the show by doing that. But that was just something I thought of. And it would be a twist, you know?
Yeah, it'll definitely, they're going to pull something out next week, which brings us to the previews for next week, where they're just basically building up the competition between the two ladies and who's going to be Marilyn. But the main thing I got from the preview was, does Sneaky Bastard get fired?
I hope so.
Because that's certainly what it looked like.
It's either Sneaky Bastard or... I don't know why she would hire.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know why she would fire Derek. She would.
No, she definitely said you're fired straight to Ellis, right?
Guys. Yeah. No, wait. Let's just cover our tracks just in case, because when the previews come on, I get prepared. Like I stare at my TV and let nothing else in the world distract me. Like I'm ready for that 15 seconds. All right. So I paid really close attention, and I'm pretty sure that there might have been different scenery between Eileen saying you're fired and Ellis going, huh? But, I mean, it could still be the same storyline. I don't know. Sometimes they mislead you in previews. Sometimes they don't. It could have been, but honestly, they could have just been like, oh, we need a reaction shot of Ellis that won't spoil too much of anything, so we'll just give that random shot. And that is my rant.
I'm sorry. I'm like swipe happy. That was perfect.
I'm right there with you, Megan. Did it make you think of Home Improvement?
What? Yes. Oh, God, I'm too young for it. Tell me. Just tell me. Get it over with.
Oh, my God. I'm so
Jeremy, I can't believe we just made a Home Improvement reference. How old are we?
Well, that's totally what it made me think of, you know? It's like, oh.
Oh, okay. I get that. Never mind.
Yeah. I just watched the promo back really quickly on Hypeable, and she's definitely saying, you're fired straight to Ellis's face. So there's no
awesome.
Nothing to think twice about there.
But is the scene with Ellis going, ho? Is it a little bit different?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mitch.
It's like drastically different, right?
Oh, Megan.
Let the girls laugh while I research.
I can't stop, guys.
I'm going to do it too, John. We're going to get this down pat. We're going to find out what is happening.
I think
glad it's the same laughing too.
Scenario. Yeah, it's the same scenario. It's the same scene. The lighting's the same, and he's wearing the same thing. So.
No, I'm so sad.
Yeah. Okay, girls, let's bring it in a little bit.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Anyway...
I'm not going to have to go into my John Thrasher, the showrunner, Glee Chat duties, am I?
Heck no, bitch.
All right. Very good. All right.
I'm no understudy.
I'm no understudy. Megan, Jessica tweeted that to me earlier when I said I was going to pull a Rebecca Duval and be on Smash Chat tonight.
Nice.
Okay, well, so that's pretty much the episode of Smash that was on tonight. And
wait, we're not saying everything in the preview, Jess. There were so many big things that happened still.
Yeah, we're not done.
Oh.
Not too much, sorry.
The pills.
There were pills in someone's hand.
All I saw was Sneaky Bastard getting fired.
There were totally pills, and maybe Ivy's, we're assuming, because, you know, she had that pill thing going on.
Right.
Yeah.
We also see that there's no Nick Jonas or Bernadette Peters in the preview.
Yeah.
But they're apparently confirmed, somebody says.
Yeah.
I confirmed that because I found that in a story, and we reported on it a while ago, that they were both going to come back. And they said in interviews that they were going to, both of them, Nick Jonas and Bernadette Peters. So I'm just surprised that they didn't use it as, like, star power to try and get people to watch it again. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not, because they're probably just going to be, I mean, like, literally
quick
cameo and... The episode is going to be all about who gets to be Marilyn.
They'll probably just be in the audience.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it'll be
a big arc.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Not
well,
at all.
Well, I don't know if this is too much of a spoiler. Stop me before I do it, Jess, because you'll know what I'm talking about. But we have Lyle coming on to do something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Read the synopsis that I posted in the Google Doc so you can tell me if I can say this. Because
did you add this later?
Nope. It was for last week. I don't know. Is it too much of a spoiler if we talked about it last week?
I don't have a clue what you're talking about, Mitch.
I'm just going to straight up say it, okay? So sorry, people.
Delete it if need be.
It's not even... Well, it's not even that big of a deal, I promise. It's just that Lyle was going to come on and say something shocking that might change the show or something. And we were trying to theorize, like, what that could have been. Like, he's going to take away his money. He's Nick Jonas. So he's going to have an important role. I'm not saying
that's right.
You guys are just completely wrong that he might still just show up for a little bit, but I know for a fact
about
he's...
That.
Yeah, so...
He might have a big punch in the show.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, but that could be something like at the end, like a season finale cliffhanger. And so they don't want to show their big guns beforehand.
That could definitely be it.
Maybe.
Or maybe Bernadette Peters is the one that has the pill problem and we all find that out. Can I say something since I'm on the show and I don't know when I'll be on next?
No.
I really don't. Yeah. Okay. I really have we talked about this on Glee Chat before. I really can't believe that Bernadette Peters is playing Ivy's mom. And so in my head, she therefore does not exist in the world of Smash because Bernadette Peters is such a legend. You can't have her come on and play Ivy's mom. She needs to play herself. Mm-hmm. She totally could have come on and been a mentor. I mean,
she
basically was that anyway when she was sort of singing and everyone was fawning over her. So I just want to put that out in the world that I'm upset with that. So
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not
that being said, she was brilliant. I saw Bernadette Peters in Annie Get Your Gun in 1999.
I hate you.
It was awesome.
Wow.
And she was amazing, and I've always had this affinity for her, and I'm really happy that she was on the show. So,
Very cool.
Here's another connection. Megan Hilty, actually, who plays Ivy, I went to WVU for 5 years, and she did West Virginia Public Theater there, like, several years ago, and I think might have done a whole season, which they do, like, a summer... West Virginia Public Theater is based in Morgantown where WVU is, and they use like WVU's theater and everything. So that's my little connection to Megan Hilty is we probably ate at the same restaurants a couple of times.
You just got all kinds of connections. The bowling alley, the...
Oh, I should talk about that.
No, go ahead.
Okay. This is just so funny. Well, okay. So there's the episode where they all went bowling at this place called Brooklyn Bowl. It's a very popular place. It's sort of a landmark in Brooklyn. A lot of people that go to New York go there. It's a place where you can bowl. There's live musicians.
Music. Yeah, my friends have played there before.
Yeah, so there you go. And, and typically, whatever, it's not even a big deal. But they were literally in the same bowling alley that I went bowling in 2 years ago, and I just thought that was kind of crazy because, it was a bunch of my friends. You know, we all went out to the Brooklyn Bowl that night, and it was like kind of creepy because it was like the same scenario. They were sitting on the same couch, and I'm like, I live this. I lived Smash, you guys. And then, and then that was 2 years ago. And for those of you who don't know, I was in a competition 2 years ago with MTV to be their first ever Twitter jockey, the MTV TJ. And it was this sort of summer-long competition, and there was like a national exposure type of thing. It was really fun. And there was a live finale in August of 2010 that actually taped at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, which is where – what were they doing there? There was a gala where Eileen and Nick were at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they were sort of filming in the lobby, and I was totally in that lobby for like 2 hours waiting to get to my seat, and they taped upstairs. So it was just really cool because that place sort of has a special place, in my head because of obviously the competition that I was in. So there were a lot of different connections here with Smash and myself. So also, Smash, if you would like to use me as an actor, I'm available. I get to New York
Did you ever get your headshots?
Yeah, no, I didn't get my headshots. I should get those fun because we did Glee Chat Fan of the Week last week, obviously, on Glee Chat. And Mered, who won, sort of wrote to me and was like, do I get a headshot? And I'm like, oh, my God, people really want those.
Yeah, and she asked me and Cody about it, too.
I'm going to have to make related headshots because I don't want actual headshots.
Well, you should send off the one that you did with your face on Darren's body for How to Succeed, the playbill that you gave us all.
Yeah, whenever I got back from my trip to New York when I went to see How to Succeed, I sent all of the Glee Chat hosts, including these three on the show tonight, a little photoshopped picture of my face on Darren Criss's head, and I sort of photoshopped my name as if I were appearing on the playbill. So, yeah, I could do that. I have those lying around here somewhere. So, anyways, let's move on.
Yes. Okay. Well, if you have any comments that you want to make about any of the points that we brought up, if you agree with us or think that we are completely psycho, then leave your comments on hypeable.com under this post. We love discussing things with you and we will totally respond. So please do that. And now we're going to get into a little bit of news and I'm going to turn it over to Mitch.
Okay, so we have finally a little bit of our numbers for the music of Smash, the soundtrack, that debuted at number 3 on iTunes when it came out, and I'm going to butcher this on the date. I'm going to say it came out on Tuesday. It did. It came out when I was still editing on Monday night's show into Tuesday morning. So it currently is at the number 15 position when I last checked on Monday. Oh, we're Tuesday, May 8th. So I'm not sure if it's going to really stay up there for too much longer, but still, I think it had a pretty good run. I think it debuted at number 3, though, because a lot of people had pre-ordered it, and that all those pre-orders are going to activate right when it becomes available. Right. So that's why it went to number 3. It's not like many people were like, oh my god, I gotta go buy it at midnight. Like, you can pre-order things on iTunes, you know?
Does this album have every song, or is it just...
No.
Yeah.
We went over it last week. That it does not have everything. It has random songs. It doesn't even have every song from the musical.
Yeah,
it's just strange
even have
overall.
All the original stuff. It's bizarre.
Oh,
but
that's odd.
I'm impressed, even with pre-orders and stuff, that it debuted number 3 on iTunes.
Yeah, that's
me too.
Huge.
Yeah, that's very impressive, especially with the lackluster numbers that it's been getting, the show's been getting. So.
Well, right. And also, I'll do a little follow-up, that it did do the Complete My Album feature that I was looking for, where I had bought a lot of the singles for the whole entire season. I bought, let's say, 7 out of the 15 songs, and it was only like $2.36, we'll say, to finish my album. And I was like, this is a pretty good deal.
That's a good
deal.
Seriously, because you know albums are usually cheaper than the real thing, so I'm glad I waited out on a couple of those singles. So if you're really concerned about that, you can still have that Complete My Album feature for the Smash album, which is on and off for iTunes, but good thing that they have that for this.
And it's $11.99 on iTunes, I just checked.
Yep.
That's not terrible.
So we have a pretty nice discovery, and it came from Kate from the Hypeable comments of the previous episode of Smash Chat, who I've talked about 3 times in the episode. Kate, we love you. Please don't stop listening or watching Smash, because you gave too great of a comment this week for me to want you to ever go away forever. Please. Okay.
If there
anyways.
Were a Smash Chat fan of the week, she would win.
She would win the Smash Chat fan of the week, because I keep on talking about her all the time, and she's so great. Okay. So, the blog that Kate talked about in her comment was from a Broadway insider. So it's pretty exciting because the person who writes the blog, her name is Sharon Wheatley, and she is known for playing Kate Monster on Broadway's Avenue Q for a run. I'm sure she's done more. That's all I saw in her blog posts, and that's what I thought she'd want to be known as. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Sure. So her blog is called Smash Fact or Fiction. She does a little feature where every single week she'll go through and say what is really real in the Broadway world about what happened in each episode of Smash. So really interesting stuff. She's a lot of inside Broadway friends who she can't name for obvious reasons that'll give her like the true facts of what really happens in the Broadway world. So the first one is, I thought, the most interesting fact, and she proved that quitting, she proved in the post that, it, wow, words, she proved in her post whether or not quitting a show due to a pilot for a TV show was legitimate. So one of her unnamed Broadway insider friends said, quote, Generally, with principal contracts, you have a TV/film out clause written into your contract. That said, were you to do that during tech week, you would solidly burn that bridge and never work for those folks again. Understandably
I
so.
Figured.
I'll just run through all these guys, and we'll I guess we'll talk about them all after.
Sure.
And I just picked some highlights for them. You can always go over and just Google Smash Fact or Fiction, and you'll find the blog. So another one that I found interesting was it was in relation to us questioning whether or not Karen was legitimate and not giving Dev an answer for his proposal during tech rehearsals. So Sharon's Broadway friend had this to say. Yes, tech rehearsals are tiring, but really, taxi drivers and doctors work longer and harder shifts and still go home and live a life. Ha ha ha. And lastly, she answered the question of, quote, it's easier to find a replacement book writer and lyricist and possibly composer than it is to replace an actor, fact or fiction, with this. Fiction. This was made for TV drama. If the lyricist slash book writer threatened to quit if they brought back an actor and they thought that they might lose the composer too, they'd have five other actors in there to learn the part in 2 days. No big deal. Actors are way more replaceable than an entire script and score and book. No contest. And that kind of answers our question, guys, that if either Julia or Tom were to leave, their book would leave with them, that legal action that we were questioning in last week's episode. So that was a lot of me talking. Yeah. I'm sure you guys are just kind of bursting at the seams right now because that's a lot.
No, so. I'm excited about this blog. I saw this in the document before we started recording, and I was like, this is awesome. Because,
isn't it?
You know, and it's so nice because with Glee, you know, and not to compare and contrast, but this is just my experience with these shows, is, you know, you've sort of – everyone's pretty much been through high school. They know the realities. They know, you know, you can sort of see that stuff. But with Smash, it's completely different because it's almost like you're getting an inside look at an industry that unless you're one of the people in that production type of thing, you don't know anything about. So, you know, and I have a couple of my friends that are, you know, a lot of my friends are huge into theater, very into Broadway. They are actors, they are performers, that's their thing. And, you know, they had a lot of these similar questions that were brought up in Sharon's blog. So these are great responses, and I hope that she does these every week.
Yeah,
that's so cool. And I just looked up on IBDB, which is sort of the IMDb of Broadway, her sort of past. And she actually has a lot of interesting credits to her name. She was in the original musical Cats. She was the replacement for Jenny Anydot. She was in Les Mis, the original Broadway production of Les Mis, and Phantom of the Opera as well. So she has some very big credits to her name. So she would She was a replacement for Paige and a replacement what does it say here? Oh, she was just a swing. So
okay.
Paige
a swing?
And so, basically somebody that kind of knows everything that's going on the stage, and so if somebody can't do it that night, they'll just replace them real quick, whether it be like a backup dancer or somebody in the chorus or something like that. At least that's what I know. I might be making that up in my head.
No,
so.
I think that's what it is.
I think so.
Yeah. And she was the dance captain in Avenue Q as well. So, and she was the understudy for Kate Monster, Mrs. T, Lucy the Slut, and Bear in Avenue Q.
Slut.
She's busy.
Yeah, so she's a multi-talented person. That, and she has credits both as a performer and a stage manager. So she really kind of can see both, you know, on-stage performance and what's happening off-stage. So
yeah, I think she's a great person to go through for all these kind of facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good resource. This is awesome.
Yeah, guys, tell us what you think. All you listeners out there, like, what you think about this blog post, because I have an idea of maybe covering back some of the episodes and seeing more in-depth what she had said was true or not in our summer hiatus episodes, which, by the way, we're going to stay with you in the summer. Don't worry. You'll get your fix of Smash Chat. We'll be back, obviously, for season two. But let me know if you guys think that's going to be a cool thing, and let us all know, because we'd love to hear what you guys want.
As a fan of Smash Chat, I would say let's do that, because that's awesome.
Doesn't it sound fun?
Yeah.
I do. I think so.
We should get her on the show, even. That would be even more fun.
Oh, my God. We have to.
She would probably do it.
That's our next mission. Okay.
Cody's already started a Twitter campaign to get Deborah Messing.
She did tweet him back once.
She did tweet him back once, but not in regards to Smash Chat.
What he asked, what are you most proud of? And she said, my son.
Yeah.
That was cute. Every couple hours, I see another tweet from Cody to Deborah Messing saying, as if he hasn't tweeted her 25 times before. And he's like, oh, I would really love for you to be on a new show, Smash Chat. And I'm sure she's thinking, is this kid okay? But that's the way to do it. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Okay.
If Kurt Meg is listening to this, I would really appreciate a tweet back. Okay, let's keep
going. Okay, one last news item. Go.
All right, so we have a little bit of downer news to end our fabulous episode. So I'm pretty sad
not
to bring this.
Not unlike Bombshell, you know, with the whole dying at the end of the show.
Right.
Seriously, this is exactly what we're having right now, because the ratings for last week's episode went down dramatically from about a 6 million to a 5.34 million. What the heck?
Oh, that doesn't seem that dramatic to me.
I didn't think so either.
When
you read this, I saw, like, because Mitch, for those of you listening, in our document, Mitch wrote it out, and he has dramatically, like, written in all caps, and I was like, oh my, so I'm reading, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are these going to be? And I look over, and I was like, oh.
That is a significant drop for, especially what this season had done before. Maybe it's because, like, I'm so in tune with it, because it's all I, like, care about, like the ratings. Like, I'm always up on that news story, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's like the biggest drop we've seen in a while, and I'm just shocked. I know we always like to talk about why we think, but I know there's no explanation for that one. Nothing.
I mean, Mitch, you know that that's less than 1 million, right?
I know that's less than 1 million people
okay,
that dropped
off. I just want to make sure you're not maybe misunderstanding the numbers or something.
No, it's just weird.
I don't mean that to be rude. I'm just
saying. I know. I understand. Well, we had like really like solidified at like a 6 million for literally the past 5 episodes. And out of nowhere, bam.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, I think for the finale, we'll have bigger numbers again. But I think this is interesting. And again, sorry to go back to Glee, but, you know, Smash has been on for 14 episodes and they're at the same sort of numbers and viewers that Glee is getting. So if you put Smash at the 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock hour, you're going to probably see a huge boost in the numbers. Oh, yeah. And I have a feeling NBC will be doing that next year. I don't think Smash will be on Mondays next year. I think they'll put it somewhere else.
Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I made my whole entire class schedule for next semester around when Smash and Klee were going to be on. If it gets messed up, my life is over, and I need to just work it so I get these podcasts going still.
Jess, were you saying that they were hoping to change it?
No, I was saying they were hoping to work on the voice lead-in.
Okay.
That's why they did the Monday night at 10 o'clock time slot, because they were hoping that they would get overflow from the voice.
Interesting. Yeah. What I wonder what numbers The Voice is getting. Does anybody happen to know off the top of their head?
I don't know.
Probably not great, because I'm really bored with it. And
yeah, I feel like
I know that it beat American Idol earlier in the season, but I don't know what it is.
I feel like I heard that it didn't do nearly as well as it did last year.
The thing is, it's like 4 hours of TV every week, and I pretty much watch what I need to watch in like 15, 20 minutes. No joke.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, don't have time to watch the whole thing, so I just fast forward, and I go to the performances, and I listen to it, and if it doesn't grab me, then I just fast forward and keep going, and I don't even care what the judges have to say, because Christina is just... She's such a jerk, and she has alien boobs. And
alien
I'll
boobs.
Stop
she does.
Talking about The Voice because this is Smash Chat.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully next week the numbers are good for the season finale. But at least we know that it has been picked up for season two. So I mean, it could always be canceled if it does dismally, you know, next season. But for right now, we know we're going to get some more Smash. So. Yay for that.
Yeah, and you'll get a lot of news about casting and stuff over the summer as well. So
definitely.
You guys will be able to report on that with the podcast. So
yeah, we'll let you guys know a little bit more next week about what you can expect over the summer hiatus.
Oh, wow. And just talking about The Voice's ratings, they started off for them the season two premiere at 37 million, and now they're down to 8.9 million.
What?
Yeah, I felt that's insane. Like I heard that before. That's
37 million? That's huge to
begin.
See,
Mitch? That doesn't That's make our drop yeah. look so dramatic, does
Well, like, they went from 37 to 17, like, one from episode 1 to 2, and Smash went from, like, I don't know, I'm going to, this is wrong, it was, like, a 17 to, like, an 8. So we always see that drop from first to second episode.
Yeah, that's normal.
But then
yeah.
they just started dropping from there. It was, like, weird that they dropped worse than Smash. So Smash is doing good independently, it seems, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I mean, The Voice beat American Idol in the ratings a couple of nights earlier in this season. So, I mean, that's a pretty big, that's a huge achievement. American Idol is the biggest show on television.
Yeah.
So to do that, that's a huge thing. But anyway, The Voice, this isn't The Voice chat. So
no, it's not. Well, that wraps up everything for episode 16 of Hypeable.com Smash Chat. And please, please, please don't forget to go and leave your comments under this post on Hypeable.com. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes and leave your reviews. Let us know what you guys think of the show. And you can follow us on Twitter at Smash_chat. And also check back to Hypeable.com for all the newest and up-to-date Smash news. And yes, that's it. So thank you again to John for coming on tonight. It was wonderful having you on tonight.
Thank you.
We loved it. You had lots of fabulous things to say, as we knew you would.
Thank you very much. And I really appreciated being on the show. And if you guys that are listening to this episode are fans of Glee Chat, we're going to have Andrew Sims on next week's episode. So be sure to check out Glee Chat and hear what Andrew has to say. He is a Gleek. In the making, basically. He used to hate Glee, and now he's a fan, so check
yes,
that
but
out.
He watches Smash, too, I believe. I know he did when it first started. I know he really liked it when it first started. I don't know if he stayed yeah. with it or not, but yeah. So that should be
awesome.
Fun. All right, okay. Well, are you going to say goodbye, John? Are you going to close out the show?
I'll close the show
out.
No,
you
Megan,
just can't. You
no
just
judgments.
Can't help yourself, you can you?
It's in my blood. What can I do?
I do have to say really quick that ever since I've started doing this every single week, I mean, this is episode 16 of Smash Chat, so I've been doing this for 16 weeks now. Right. When I'm on Glee Chat, especially after we were off for so many weeks mm-hmm. from the hiatus and coming back on, there are times when I find myself having to like shut my mouth because I'm like, okay, and moving on.
Well, I like, felt there were a couple moments tonight where I was like, okay, yeah. Mitch, so what did you think about that?
I know. But seriously. I think that
if anybody was going to do that, I would love that it's you to do that, since obviously we've learned from each other, I think, in a lot of different yeah. ways. So. But listen, no hard feelings. I'm not stepping. I hope you don't think I'm stepping on toes.
I'm totally just teasing you. But I've caught myself almost doing that on Glee Chat a couple of times. I'm like, Jess.
I'll make sure to yell at you next time.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
I will make sure you know your place in this world, Jessica.
Awesome. I need a firm hand.
Now that's dramatic.
Yes.
All right. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and say goodbye.
Okay. Okay. And everybody, let's say goodbye. Okay. Bye. Thank you. All
right. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Onara. Happy little bluebirds fly beyond.